Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holdings conference call to present and discuss the 9-month 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holdings management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings. I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Markos Bitsakos. We are here to present you the financial results of the 9-month period of 2021, provide insights for the remaining part of the year, and answer your questions. Now, before moving forward, we are proud to inform you that according to yesterday's Athens Stock Exchange announcement, Quest Holdings will be included in the Athens Large Cap FTSE 25 Index, which is the index of the 25 largest Greek-listed companies. Now, we'll give the microphone to Mr. Markos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Before moving into the numbers, allow me to say a few things that are noteworthy. First, it must be highlighted that by the end of the third quarter of this year, Carling divestment was concluded. Hence, in addition to the organic results, the third quarter was boosted as far as EBT is concerned by a substantial one-off positive impact, both for the company and the group. Specifically, Carling sale resulted to capital gains of 85 million for Quest Holdings parent company and 75.8 million in consolidated accounts. Nevertheless, excluding this one-off extraordinary result, the organic business continued to flourish over the third quarter of the year. Quest Group in this 9-month period has integrated four new business segments vis-à-vis last year, which are ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus. Alexandros will give you later on further details for these new activities. Xiaomi ecosystem continues its exponential growth, and Toyotomi Clima sector had also a remarkable growth versus last year, above 50%. Lastly, Apple ecosystem maintained throughout the 9-month period a strong growth pace for the entire product portfolio. Eventually, diving into the numbers, Quest Group maintained over the third quarter of the year its robust double-digit sales growth versus last year, however, with a slower pace compared to the first half of the year. Consolidated sales amount to 669 million euro compared to 481 million euro in the comparable period of last year, which correspond to 39% increase. Out of these consolidated sales, only the 32 million refers to the discontinued operations of Carling, with the respective amount of last year being a 25.5 million. This means that 95% of total consolidated sales for the 9-month period derives from continued operations. The locomotive for this large increase in sales, to the greater extent, once again was the volume business sector of the group, whereas the increase in EBITDA and EBT derives from all companies, with Unisystems and ACS being the most important contributors, however, without any of the group subsidiary left behind. It is worth mentioning that all five business segments and all subsidiaries show remarkable sales growth. All in all, in the 9-month period, total consolidated revenues reached 669 million, increased by 39% versus last year. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 34.6%, reaching 57.8 million euro vis-à-vis the 43 million euro of last year. 80% of the consolidated EBITDA derives from continued operations and 20% from the discontinued operations. Consolidated EBT, earnings before tax, which includes the capital gain impact from Cardium divestment, reached 120 million euro. Excluding these capital gains from Cardium sale, on a like-to-like basis, EBT from continued operations amounting to 37.5 million euro grew by 59%, with all business segments strongly supporting this growth. Earnings after tax and non-controlling interest amount to approximately 110 million euro, having incorporated the significant capital gains, which are tax exempted according to the participation exemption tax rule. Earnings after tax from continued operations amount to 29.7 million, almost four times higher than last year net profit in the corresponding period. Net profit for discontinued operations, excluding the capital gains, amounts to 5 million euros, which implies that net profits for continued operations represent 87% of the total earning after tax amount. Group's net debt turned to 81 million euro net cash at the back of the cash inflow from Carling divestment compared to 24.4 million euro net debt of last year's September. So now I will pass again to Alexandros, who will give us the sector overview.
Thank you, Marco. Now diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the commercial activity segment, formerly named IT product segment, consisting of five main companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, and several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus, continue to grow by 57% at the sales level, while EBT doubled, jumping by about 6 million year over year. The newcomers added roughly 10 million of revenue altogether. IT services sector, consisting mainly of Unisystems, also improved by near 20% in sales, while its EBT nearly doubled, assisted by a lower increase in operational costs compared to sales, lower travel expenses, the reduction of financial costs, and more efficient operations in general, leading to higher margins. Postal services, which is ACS, grew by almost 12% in sales and near 28% in EBT, assisted by the growth of e-commerce and one-off positive effects. Q3 sales growth of ACS is decelerating compared to the first half growth, following a generic deceleration observed in e-commerce after the opening of physical retail. The 9 months 2021 profitability was positively affected by a one-off reversal of past provisions, roughly 1.5 million in EBT level. Even without this, profitability grew better than sales. Electronic payments, which is Cardlink, also improved by almost 25% in sales and by about 30% in EBITDA, mainly by the positive effect of the growing penetration of e-payments, the opening of physical retail, restaurants, and of course, the recovery of tourism. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales grew slightly by 1.3% in sales and 17% in EBT, mainly due to last year's investment. Now let me pass over to Apostolos to provide the outlook.
Good afternoon from me too to all. To start with, we have to say that the overall COVID effect to our group so far was positive, since it seems that has pushed forward the penetration of IT technology and the segments related to IT equipment, IT services, as well as the e-commerce. As has already been explained by Marcos and Alexandros, all our continued segments are growing strongly, with most of them presenting double-digit growth in sales and profitability. Our estimation for 2021 last quarter is that we're not going to have any hard lockdowns in Greece. Taking this into account, we foresee the following in more detail per sector. Regarding the first sector, which is commercial activities, in this sector, the demand for IT products and e-commerce remained strong during the quarter three, but revenues grew at a slower pace after the opening of the physical stores. Our current estimations for the 12 months of 2021 still is a high double-digit growth in sales and profitability, but probably at a milder pace compared to the 9 months, partly due to limitations that we have in the product supply. Regarding the IT services sector, this sector is also continuing to be positively affected by the higher demand in IT services, while it has also a high backlog of projects. These backlogs exceed 300 million. For the whole of the year, for this sector, we estimate that it will grow at double-digit rates in both sales and EBITDA versus 2020, but probably again at a slight lower growth rates compared to those of the 9 months. For the last quarter, we also expect to have a slight headwind support in our figures by the new acquisition of IntelliSolutions that was concluded in the 1st of October, and though it is a small entity, it's very interesting and a fast-growing company. Going to the postal sector, our estimations for 2021 foresee a growth in sales, mainly driven by e-commerce boost, most of it coming from the first half and the lockdown period, while the postal sector continues to have a strong decline. Overall, we estimate that the company during 2021 to grow both in sales and EBT, but again at a lower pace versus the 9 months, while the fourth quarter sales are expected to be softer than the same period last year, since we don't expect to have any hard lockdown. The company continues its planned investments for the completion of its new sorting hub, which is expected to be operating early next year. Regarding the electronic payments, we have nothing to foresee since we have successfully divested from it at the end of the third quarter. Finally, regarding the renewable energy production sector, our estimation for the whole year are for a mild growth driven by 2020 investments, since investments of 2021 were delayed and these are expected to have an effect in 2022. Further growth may come from further investments in the future. Overall, for the 12 months of 2021, we estimate a positive course versus 2020 for all our continuing segments and companies, but are at a lower pace compared to the 9 month period. On a consolidated level, we estimate that our continued operations to have a double digit growth in sales, EBITDA and EBT versus 2020. Considering 2021 good course, Quest Holdings Board of Directors also yesterday decided for a distribution of an amount of about 45 million euros, which corresponds to 1.5 euros per share gross, as an interim dividend, which roughly equals to half the capital gains from Carling divestments as a reward to our shareholders. This interim dividend payment date has been set for Monday, February the 7th, 2022. Quest Group's current cash position is still very strong, at around 300 million in cash and available credit line, allowing us the continuation of planned growth investments. These investments currently mainly regard to the infrastructure for courier services, the expansion of product sector to the Klima ERCO market through the possible acquisition of the company YET, which is a distributor of Toyotomi air conditioning, and the increase of the energy portfolio. At the same time, we pursue M&As in order to further propel our growth. As a final remark, we have to mention that Quest Group, during 2021, seems to reinforce its position, having four stronger separate segments, all at their best historical position, and all of them being very promising regarding their future growth. Therefore, at the current point, we're also optimistic for the next year, 2022. Now, let me pass back to Alexandros.
Okay, that was our brief overview of the 9 months, as well as the outlook for the full year. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question is from the line of Zviriadi Natalia with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. Very good results. I was wondering if you could give us a bit more color on your investment plans, on the CapEx plans. You said it's regarding energy and the potential acquisition of Iev Dimitriou. Could you give us some numbers? Because I recall we were having higher numbers expecting for the whole year, and we're quite lower in the 9 months on what has happened in 2021. So I was wondering if these plans remain and we should see them in 2022. If you could give us some color on the numbers and maybe M&A deals, which sectors you're mainly looking, given your strong liquidity now. This is my first question, and I also have a question regarding the supply chain difficulties and challenges we are seeing. And if you are quite confident on your Q4 well, obviously demand is strong, but is the supply okay in the Apple, Xiaomi, I don't know, in these very strong IT products? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. This is Markus Bitsakos speaking. I will try to give you an answer for your first question, and then Alexandros will answer your second part of your question. Regarding the CAPEX, the overall CAPEX for the period was 13.3 million euro, which is low considering the initial full year estimate, as you already mentioned. Mm-hmm. This CAPEX slowdown is the outcome of several different elements that could be indicatively summarized to the following. The YED investment, if you recall our previous calls, is estimated to be in the range of 25 million euro, is still pending, awaiting the court decision, and this is most probably shifted to 2022, early 2022. We initially planned in our CAPEX schedule that this would be concluded in the year of 2021, which is not the case. Second, ACS new sorting hub was pushed back, the completion was pushed back towards the year end. This will absorb additional capex of 5 to 6 million euro in the fourth quarter of this year, and an additional 6 to 8 million will end up in 2022. Sorry. The energy plans for 6 million investment are most likely moving towards next year, at least the majority of it. We anticipate to close a new investment in the range of 1 or 2 million euro in the fourth quarter, and the rest of this 6 million euro, along with some other investment plan that we have, is going to be shifted in next year. And finally, Carling. The Carling diversion reduces our initial estimate by almost 8 million euros. That means that Carling has will proceed with this investment, but is no longer a part of our consolidated accounts. All in all, this adds up to about 50 million euros, which is exactly the difference between the initial estimate that we had of 70 million euros in CAPEX versus the 13.3 million euro that we have up to date. We estimate, taking into account what I already mentioned, that CAPEX and new investment for continued operation for the whole year will be in total between 20 and 25 million. So we have additional CAPEX in the range of 7 to 12 million euro in the fourth quarter of this year. Lastly, this investment in the range of 85 to 90% in regard to growth CAPEX, which will fuel our future growth. Now, as far as the plans that you asked if we have any plans for investing in 2022 for M&As, etc., this is in the process of... We are in the process of concluding the next year budget, so we are not right now in the position to give you specific numbers for next year. I don't know if I answer your question clearly.
Yeah, that was pretty clear. I can say. So I can see what we're expecting for next year, what has moved on. That's pretty helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Natalia, from our side
hello.
Also. Yes, I guess that you all know by now that significant shortages in raw materials, components, panels, so on and so forth have appeared globally, which convert in shortages in the products and goods that we also sell, which is computers, air conditioning, smartphones, etc. These problems have started to influence already our business, mainly in the as far as the Apple business is concerned. So there are delays in supply of products. And the feedback we have for the market is that the chance, the probability that we will face more shortages in other categories as well as, for example, Xiaomi products or air conditioning or even other categories of products are very high for the beginning of the next year. So yes, the supply shortages is a fact. And it may influence our business more in the year to come.
And this is Apostolos. I would like to add up to what Marcos has commented before regarding investment. These investments is that these investments that were delayed not because it was a choice from us. I mean, we're eager to proceed with these investments. It just happened because of usually it comes from bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It came from bureaucracy. Therefore, we're proceeding with these investments, but due to bureaucratic reasons, let's say, we experienced some delays, and these investments are, for this reason, shifted to 2022.
Yeah, this is understood. Yes, of course. I have another question that just popped up. I know from a fundamental perspective you're very, very strong, and it doesn't really make a sense. But given that the stock has rallied that much in absolute terms, would you even consider like a stock split or something else so to potentially bolster stock liquidity? I assume that's not something you're thinking, but maybe, you know.
Yeah, to be honest, it's something we're considering, and it's something could happen probably in the 2022. Of course, it needs to be decided by the appropriate by the board of directors and probably a shareholders meeting. Therefore, it's something we're considering because we also see that having grew the share so much lately, it's something that could make sense, but it's not something that it's decided yet. It's something to be decided probably in the beginning of 2022.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
The next question is from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello gentlemen, and congratulations for the set of results. I have a couple of questions regarding the several different segments of your operations. First of all, could you quantify us on a full year basis the budget that Intelli acquisition will contribute on Unisystems total sales? And if I reckon well, if I remember well, you had mentioned in the press release that this business, the one of Intelli, operates at an EBITDA margin of around the 30% area. So this, if you could confirm that, and how possible you see the Unisystems overall EBITDA margin sustainability around the 8% area. That's the first question. The second one relates to the ACS market share in the domestic market. Does that remain around the 40% area, or it has increased? and whether you see the sustainability of the ACS EBITDA margin on the 24.5 to 25% area remaining during the coming years, especially in 2022, even if we exclude the extra reversion that you took. And then if you could quantify us on the retail segment, how much was the contribution of the Xiaomi business on an absolute number, or if you could extrapolate that number, that figure for the full year 2021. And the other question regards to if you have set a targeted net debt level for your company. And why I'm asking this? I'm asking this because if we exclude the 46 million that you are going to distribute out of the 85 million that the mother company recorded as a capital gain from the sale of Cardlink, there remain another 40 million unused liquidity. And taking into consideration all your CapEx plans that you mentioned and any further potential acquisitions and things similar to that, is it possible that we see another interim dividend or capital return of what will be remained out of this 40 million for 2022? And probably that will come on top of your ordinary dividend for next year. And do you have any other plans for business expansion, especially in the retail sector, given that you will be missing 12 to 13 million of Cardlink EBITDA in 2022, and I assume that you are already considering ways of substituting this this amount of the 13 million. That's all. Thanks.
Hello, Yannis, this is Apostolos. This
Hello.
Was quite a few questions. I will try to answer a few of them, and then I will pass to the others to for the rest. First of all, regarding the Intelli, this is a 60% subsidiary at the moment. The projections we have is that the company for this year will have revenue that will surpass 4 million. And also an EBITDA margin of at least 30%. It goes
that's
better
for 2021,
than,
right?
This is for 2021. Of course, we have to mention that the company is being a part of our group as of 1st of October. Therefore, only the last quarter will be consolidated to our numbers for 2021. And we don't expect any because of that any significant contribution to our figures for only one quarter. For the next year, I would say we would expect a revenue that will be certainly above the current levels I explained, and will be consolidated for the whole year. Therefore, the contribution will be much more important next year.
And will be fully consolidated, providing that you command the 60%, correct?
Yes, it will be also consolidated for the last quarter, but of course this company has a seasonality that might affect the, let's say, quarterly numbers. Therefore, it regards a lot with the project it has, and currently it's very occupied. It's doing very well, growing again at double-digit growth rates. So we're very optimistic, as I mentioned before, about this participation. Of course, it's still something that is relatively small compared to the figures of the group. Now, regarding ACS and its market share, if I well understood the question, this is
in the courier business. I mean, market share in the courier business, not in the mail segment.
Yes. The mail segment is something that is declining. It's less than it's between 5 and 7% at the moment. The courier of the revenue, the courier business regards more than 92% of the revenue at the moment, and the courier business seems to be quite stable in terms of market share at the moment, at around 25%. We hope to be able to increase that once we have fully implemented our investments regarding infrastructure, and this would be probably starting mid next year. Regarding the margin, the market share is pretty much the margin, the market share is pretty much stable. In the total market is around 25%. In the domestic markets, it's about 10 percentage points higher, about 35% approximately. I hope this answers the question.
Yes, and the margin, do you see sustainability on the ACS EBITDA margin in the area of 14.5 to 15%, even if we exclude the reversal of the provision that you had this year?
Look, to be honest with you, this period is a bit strange in terms of the following. The last 3 months of the year are totally different compared to last year. I mean, we don't have a lockdown, therefore we foresee lower sales compared to last year. Of course, we're not going to have so many extraordinary expenses for the last quarter, and probably the same will happen the first quarter of next year, since again last year, the beginning of 2021, we had the lockdown till end of beginning of May. In a stable period, I would say that the company in the long term has an EBITDA margin of about 40%, could be slightly higher, but probably it cannot be very much higher than that, because it's a very competitive market and it's also trying to be competitive.
So the new
hub in the long run, hopefully in the long run with a new investment, but this could be, let's say, after a year or two at least, we will be able to improve the EBITDA margins from the economies of scale and operational efficiency achieved through the new infrastructure investments. But this, you won't see it
next year.
Probably, maybe not next year.
Okay.
So, regarding Xiaomi business, what we can tell you is that the Xiaomi business, as Marcos mentioned, grew very strongly. The growth in Xiaomi business is more than 80%. More than 80% this year for the 9 months period. Therefore, it seems that it's going very well and it's gaining market share, and it's becoming also very strong in the globally as a brand, as well as taking advance, let's say, its position in the local market in terms of market share. Now, let me pass now to Marco to tell you about the net debt and dividend questions that you mentioned. Marco.
Hi, Yanni.
Hello.
First of all, allow me to add to the Xiaomi question that apart from this substantial growth year over year, it's already for the 9 month period, Xiaomi represents more than 30% of the total sales for IQT business, which is a quite impressive, let's say, percentage. Now, going to the net debt, our estimation is that it will end up as net cash in the range of 80 to 90 million for the whole year, I mean December 31st, depending of course on the size of the investments that we will be able to make and the working capital improvement during the fourth quarter of the year, which is usually the case, it's happening. Now, as far as your question about any thoughts of additional dividends, I would say that at this moment, we don't have anything additional to say, apart from this interim dividend of 45 million euro that is already decided. But of course, we're going to examine this possibility early of 2022.
Okay, and what about any further business expansion in the segment of the IT products, referring to the mainly to the air conditioning expansioning? And if you could comment whether this activity will further enhance the level of 4% EBITDA margin that the segment presents, the IT product segment.
Well, I don't have a lot
of things to say, I mean new things to say, Yannis. I just remind you that we are anticipating the court decision. Whenever this eventually happens, we will invest on YES, and we are very confident that this will enhance further both the sales level of InfoQuest Technologies, and of course the EBITDA margin, as you correctly said, because the air condition in general, they have quite a lot a bigger margin, let's say, than the usual IT products. So this is something that has to be seen, but it's a logical hypothesis, let's say, what you already mentioned.
Okay, and if I may add one more further question, do you have the capability of expanding in the management and the construction of data centers through one of your business segments, either the IT products or the Unisystems business? Data centers like Helix or Microsoft are going to or are constructing in Greece.
Yeah.
Do you have that capability?
Regarding the IT infrastructure, of course, we have it, and we also run our own data center, and we provide similar services. Therefore, we are able to do, of course, not for the building construction, but for the IT infrastructure, let's say, investment. We have this ability. Of course, it's not something that it's a core business. The building of, let's say, infrastructure for data centers. It could happen, like it happened in the past, and could happen also in the future. It's more a hardware project rather than a software project. And if it happens, possibly both InfoQuest and Unisystem could be participating in such projects.
Okay.
You had one more question, because which I didn't understood it very well, about the retail sector. Can you please, if I understood well, can you please...
Yes. Whether you have any potential targets on your existing business sector, apart from the air conditioning, I mean, that you could mention on adding for next year, and how do you see that that sector evolving, and how would you plan to replace the euro 12 to 13 million lack of Carling EBITDA absolute figure next year?
Yeah, it's one of the tasks we have, to try to find, let's say, alternative investments through which we will be able to cover for the lack of the numbers having in the, that we had in the past from Carling. I don't have something in particular to disclose at the moment, but we're in the pursuit of investments. Could be in the retail sector. We're not 100% sure. We see the retail sector with the interest of being complementary to e-commerce, and it's something that could happen, but it's not something that it's yet decided or can be disclosed.
Okay, thanks a lot for your time and your answers, and congratulations for the results.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgadzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. As a closing, we would like to thank you all for your participation and wish you all, in the case we don't see or talk to you in the meantime, to have a healthy, happy Christmas and a happy New Year. Have a nice afternoon.